Introspective, inward-looking, self-examining, characterized by or given to introspection.
Welcome to the Introspective Podcast, your compass for internalizing the path towards optimal lifestyle design, business success, and mindful entrepreneurship with your host, Jake Anderson.
And we are back for another episode here on Introspective. I am so excited about today's episode specifically for the reason that we're going to really dive into a lot of more mindset stuff, but specifically around things like, you know, controlling habits and some habits that can create compulsive behavior like eating. And I can raise my hand here because I am definitely guilty of this. And this is selfishly an episode that I personally want to, you know, extract some tips out of, because I struggle with this. I don't know about you. If you're listening and you're thinking, man, when it comes to eating, I love junk food and I like to shove the junk food down my throat and I don't feel like I have control of it. And sometimes that's me, you know, I always struggle with that. And when it comes to how you can develop better habits, improving that quality of life, and knowing how to really live in your purpose, I think this is the episode for you. And I believe that you are going to find a lot of benefits. And this is somebody who I have been connected with for some time. She is just an amazing human being with a massive heart to serve. Her name is Tara Matthews. She is a holistic faith-based wellness coach who empowers others to overcome compulsive eating and enhance their overall quality of life through health education, coaching, training, and mindset development. She is an IBG brain fitness trainer, Bully X Lit class instructor, PA licensed massage therapist, Young Living brand partner, and owner of Fit Faith Company. She is also a proud homeschooling mom, loving wife, and faith-filled woman of God. I welcome to the show, Tara Matthews. Tara, how are you doing today?
Good. Thank you for having me today. I appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been a long time coming. You were actually at my launch event for this podcast back last August. If you remember that, it seems like on the internet time, like a month feels like can seem like a year, and like in terms of like what can happen. But yeah, so we've been following each other's journey for a while now. And it's been,
there's
been a lot of pivotal moments, but I love what you're doing. And it's definitely something that a lot of people, I know a lot of people struggle with this when it comes to health and fighting those cravings. You know, even in my intro, as you know, that was something that I brought up, like something I deal with. It's tough, really is tough. Yeah. So let's start here. What brought you to this place in your mission? And how did you get started in serving in this way with your Fit Faith company?
Well, I think it started a long time ago when I intuitively felt like nutrition and health was really important. And I kind of went in the direction of nursing for a while. So I went to school. I did 3 years in college for nursing. I did CNA work. And I was like, this is just not the kind of health that I want to be into. And I struggled with a lot of my own personal issues. And so, I started binge eating when I was a teenager. And so that's kind of where my issues with food begin. Mm-hmm. And really using food as an escape tool. It was like, I remember when I was, I think I was like 15 or 16. Now I was like 16, so I could drive at that point. And I don't remember what it was that was bothering me at the time, but I just drove to McDonald's. And this was when we had the supersize stuff. And I got like 2 supersize meals, and I parked in this remote location, and I just sat there and like ate myself to the point where I couldn't feel anything else, like just the uncomfortableness. Yeah. And I think that was the beginnings of like my relationship with food really being messed up for a long time.
Yeah.
And then as I've gotten older and I've had children, me and my husband struggled for 5 years to have our first child. They said that I had a little bit of like endometriosis type stuff going on. Like it's, you know, women issues. And, and I had some PCOS, and they said that it might be possible we wouldn't. And I tried some fertility drugs at that point. And then about a year after that, I got pregnant. And then a year after that, I was like, well, there, or 2 years after that, I was like, oh, here comes the other one. But yeah, just struggling with those and like arthritis issues. And the most recent was allergies. And I'm like, I've never had issues with allergies in my life. And it just, I kept going back to the doctor. I'm like, I don't know what's going on. They're like, it's allergies. I'm like, I don't understand why I have allergies. And what I've learned about myself through this is that the food that I was eating really contributed to so much. And the healing from the binge eating happened. Actually, it's been progressive, like over the years, it's kind of escalated to the point where I finally released a lot of the things that were kind of the emotions and the hurts and the things that I needed healing in. For me personally, and some people, they don't binge eat because of emotions. They binge eat because they're just chemically dependent on it, which that's part of it.
Yeah.
And yeah, last year, actually Fit Faith, I started that in, well, 3 years ago, about 3 years ago.
Okay.
Because I knew that I wanted to be in like alternative health, that I wanted to do health coaching, and I'm really passionate about it. And I wanted to help other people with it. And then last year I took this like sabbatical from it, and I was just doing my VA work, which is where we met, because I was doing that stuff.
Yeah.
And I just like worked on myself for the year, really, with my health and the mindset and healing and all of that stuff. And then it really is a calling. It feels like a calling for me. Mm. And I felt like I was just saying, all right, now it's time. Like, you have to, like, no more hiding. Like, you need to put yourself out there and start doing this and start helping people. And somebody will learn from my experience. So,
yeah. Well, and it's kind of that, it's that classic, you turn your mess into your message type
yeah.
thing, right? And when you have that kind of a background that leads you to your mission, when you have that, you know, this is where I was, like, I think it makes you more relatable in terms, like, for the people who need that help, you can really relate to them because you've been there and you know mm-hmm. how it feels and you know what the struggles are, and it goes beyond the strategies or tactics or things that you can do. It's like, now I can actually relate to you on a deeper level because I have been there. And I want to ask you about, when it comes to overcoming things like cravings, and you had touched on it because you said that when it comes to food addiction, there is a chemical aspect to it as well that keeps you addicted. And I truly believe that. I don't know much about it because it's not something I just know. And I'm from the sidelines, kind of like passing awareness of what goes on in that whole area. But I do understand that there is a chemical thing. And I guess there's like, tell me a little bit more about like what really causes that problem. Like, is there something that triggers that people can, you know, if somebody's dealing with cravings or I guess any habit, I don't know if this applies with any habit, but what can somebody do to overcome that problem of having cravings or food addiction?
Yeah. Well, when it comes to cravings, a lot of it is, I would say for those, there's kind of like two kinds of people. Because our brains tend, you know, we're all unique, we're all individual. And so there's some people that something happens in the brain when we're eating foods like the sugars and the sugars and the fats and the refined carbohydrates, the ultra processed food, like all of that stuff just lights up the brain. And it does it for all of us, but for certain individuals who become food addicted, it's like fireworks up there. And so you got your neurotransmitters that are firing off, and you got like the dopamine and serotonin increasing, and it kind of gives you that hit, that reward system going on there.
Yeah.
And some people just get stuck in that. And like the longer that you are in that cycle, you know, the more you're reinforcing those patterns in your brain, with the addiction, the food addiction. And it's hard. It's hard to get out of. Honestly, the best way for someone like that who is really honestly addicted to it is abstinence. It's kind of like a cigarette smoker saying, I'm just going to decrease how much I'm smoking. And it's just a lot easier just to say, okay, I'm just gonna, you know, call it quits and be abstinent from it. And so for those people, I suggest like sugar being like the first thing, you know, because of the way it's processed. Like if you think about drugs and how like cocaine is processed, like the cocoa plant that it comes from is people actually chew on it in other countries, and it doesn't have that kind of effect on them that is similar to like if they process it into that refined white powder, and then they, you know, mm-hmm. that has a way stronger response. And so very similar is sugar. And so we are constantly feeding ourselves with these everything. It's in everything, really.
Yeah.
And it's a drug.
Really? Yeah. I mean, when you think about how, you know, the neural pathways, right? The response, the brain response. I mean, I've gone through cycles where I've tried different diets and it's like, okay, you're going to eat this way. You know, there's a certain way that you're going to eat. Is that you're not going to have any carbs, or it's going to just be clean, right? All clean eating. That's usually where I try to go. If I try to get myself on a diet, is it's going into some kind of a clean eating format. And I know that like the first 3 days, like I get headaches and it's hard. Like those first couple of days are so hard. And then after that, you feel amazing because it's almost like you're like ridding yourself of the toxin, I guess. I mean, I just know I feel amazing. Like if I go and just eat clean and get all the junk out after a few days, I feel like crap. And then I feel amazing. And, but there's still, and I guess this is the neural pathway piece here. Like even, you know, I think the longest I've ever made it on something like that's been maybe a month, and I'll drop a ton of weight. And at the end of that month, there will be something that might trigger me to go and get that bad thing that I used to eat. And then once I get to that bad thing, then I go right back to the old habits again. And that's always such a challenge. Like, so do you like, when it comes to that long-term sustainability of, you know, okay, like I don't want to just overcome my cravings for a period of time. Like I want to make this a lifestyle. Like this is how I eat. This is how I live. How does somebody, is there like a, I'm trying to think of how to phrase this question. Basically where I'm trying to get to with this is how does somebody get to that place where this is a lifestyle? And it's not some, like, I think a diet, I think it has an end to it. Like when I think that where I hear the word diet, like, okay, there's an end to this. Like, no, this needs to be a lifestyle change. So what does somebody need to have in place, or what does somebody need to do to make this a true lifestyle change for them?
Yeah. And like you said, the diet, it's, we all have that diet mentality because we always think the next thing is going to work for us. And the thing is, there's thousands of people who go abstinent from sugar and they live the rest of their life like that. And it's amazing and it's so good for your health. But I mean, some people want to enjoy something once in a while. And so you have to, it's all about finding what works for your body. So it's a lot of trial and error. And that's why people go from diet to diet to diet thinking this is going to work. And then it works for a while and then it doesn't work for a while. And it's because there has to be that shift from, you know, I'm not doing this because I want to lose 20 pounds this month. And like, this is the, you know, or the wedding's coming up that I need to look good for, or things like that. But it's the mindset shift really from to this has to be the, like the lifestyle change. Like, this is what I want the rest of my life. And the real thing that changes that is like finding, you know, the reason why we're doing it. Because we have to have a strong reason for it. And a lot of people, it's not until their health hits rock bottom. And then they're just like, wow, like I just had a heart attack and I need to change the way I eat now. And that triggers something in the brain that's like, okay, now I know I need to make the change or I'm going to die. And unfortunately, like a lot of people are like that. I actually have family members who are diabetic and still like, you know, eat the sugar and then inject the insulin shots. And so what makes the difference, I think, between the people who make that shift is that they're working on that mindset and they're finding their reasons and they're practicing the self-care that they need to do, because it takes a little bit of work. You know, we can't just say, oh, I'm going to focus on eating healthy, but then I'm never going to plan anything. Like I don't plan my days out or what I'm going to eat. And then you kind of don't set yourself up for success. And so if you set yourself up for the success, and I'm big on like planning stuff, I'm a little bit type A too, as far as like when it comes to planning things. And I know some people are really spontaneous and, but really to have that long-term success, we have to have that mentality like, okay, you know, what am I eating tomorrow? Like, what is my day going to look like? Do I have the food in my house that I need to have? Am I going to be going out? Do I need to pack a lunch? For people who like with food addiction, it's just, I've done this personally, like, okay, I have to take the long way around to a destination so I don't pass by Dunkin' Donuts, because I know if I pass by there, I'm going to want that coffee. Yeah. Or that, you know. So really it's like developing the strategies and knowing yourself and knowing what triggers you have and the things that can derail you, and then setting up strategies for yourself that are going to help you have that sustainable success.
Yeah. I can relate to like fast food restaurants, especially. I'll go to a fast food restaurant. I know there's healthy choices. I guess they're healthy. I mean, you know, salad or something like that, but I never look at them. I just go straight to the double cheeseburger and fries and Dr. Pepper, or like the number three. I can remember McDonald's, like, give me the number three double quarter pounder with the fries and Dr. Pepper. I'm good to go. And I never, like, my brain just doesn't focus on that. And I remember one day when I was going through this healthy eating regimen, I had to like almost consciously like wake myself up for a second while I was at that register ordering food. Cause my wife and I, we used to go to Chick-fil-A all the time back when you could actually go into Chick-fil-A. And we'd take the kids there. It was nice because they had the little play area and it was easy. It was an easy kind of meal if we felt like we needed to go that route. So when I was doing my healthy eating, we'd go to Chick-fil-A. I had to like almost jerk myself into consciousness and say, wait a second, no, don't go over there on the menu, go over here on the menu and look. And it really takes like being intentional, like as you're thinking through that, and like you said, like planning things out. I think that's a really important thing to highlight there, because anytime I notice that I'm going into a bad healthy eating pattern, it's because I'm just not aware of anything that's going on. I'm just like, I'll go to the fridge and I'm scanning for the thing that I want to eat and not the thing that I should eat. And those are two very different things at that moment in time. What I want to eat is something bad for me because my brain's got that neural pathway that's like triggering my behavior to go there. But what I should eat is something obviously different than that. And, in what you said about, kind of that you get to a place where it almost, you have some life altering event, right? You have a heart attack, something like that. And like, that's when you decide to make a change. It's like, we need to get to a place where that never happens, make those changes before that ever happens. Cause you might not be around if that happens, that might be the thing that puts you under. And, you know, I have a neighbor that lives up the street and he said the same thing. He was like, yeah, you know, he's like, I had my heart attack. And then that's what led me to making the changes in my lifestyle. He's like, I lost, I don't know, it was some substantial amount of weight. I don't know, it might have been 100 pounds or something. It was substantial. I saw old photos of him. I'm like, wow, that was you. You don't even look like the same person. And he's like, yeah, he's like, that's what a heart attack will do to you. You know, it'll make you, you know, it did that to me. So having that really deep reason as to why, you know, why you need to make these changes. And for me, I want to be around for my children. You know, I want my kids to grow up with a dad. I don't want to be in such bad health that it's affecting my relationship for my children, for my wife, for my family. And I want to be around, I want to be able to see them grow up and, you know, and be that dad. that they deserve. And that's a good reason. So I think anybody listening right now and you're dealing with issues with cravings and bad habits, like start with the reason, start with that why, like why I need to be doing this, and let that be your driver, and be honest with yourself. You know, it's if you're messing up, that's okay. Like we all mess up. We gotta admit to, you know, be truthful with ourselves and face it. So I know that you're doing a lot in terms of serving in this mission. And I think it's great because you're giving people a place to connect, and they don't feel like they're alone in this journey. And I think with something like this, knowing that you've got community and that you have, you know, a place where people can really get that support to move through this really difficult thing. Tell me about that. Like, what are you doing right now to serve, and how are you serving?
Yeah. So it's pretty cool. What I have going on is kind of like a twofold thing here. So, cause I have my coaching, Tara Matthews coaching, like that's just my personal coaching, but I also have Fit Faith Company, which is more like a ministry. Because I got to a place where I wanted to be able to have a place for resources and people to go who don't necessarily, you know, can afford a personal coach or, you know, a private trainer or anything, like to have those kind of resources. So that's kind of why I made my free group Fit Faith. And then I'm also launching a new program in June, and that's going to be Rapid Results Program. So it's 3 months, and then we're going to go through everything from your faith and mindset to your nutrition to your fitness. And the thing is like when it comes to our health, it's so much more than just what we put in our mouth or just, you know, going to the gym. Like it's so much, it's about sleep. It's about our relationships. Yeah. It's like everything contributes to how we feel. And so, so that's kind of the goal of that 3 month program, is to offer a private community for people to go to with so much more one-on-one and accountability that I can offer them. So I'm doing that, which is pretty awesome. And that's, I'm hoping that can reach the world in the way that I want to and take off. So we'll see how that goes. And I want to rewind for a second, because you were talking about how you were saying about how you went, like when you go to McDonald's, how your brain just like, how you automatically go to the thing.
Yeah.
And that's really part of just the conditioning that we have. And if you think about it, just like the media and how we're so conditioned to like automatically think about food when we go out, you know, when you think back, like the old days before, like there was fast food places everywhere and people made home cooked meals. And now we have TV commercials and advertisements everywhere you go. And there's like food triggers everywhere. Yeah. So it's no wonder that our mind just naturally goes there and wants to eat that stuff. And when you were talking about the why, and how you feel like, you know, how I said you go in the refrigerator and you feel like, you know, you grab for what you want, but you know, you really should eat something better. I think it really comes down to when you really get that why, like in there, like you really get down to what is really driving you to make that change, that you're going to find that. And there's some work that you can do with that to kind of help you ingrain it in you more to really make it real, that when you start opening the refrigerator, the things that you should want, you actually will want, you know? Mm-hmm. So, and I think that's a lot of repetition. It's a lot of, I like to say like journaling, prayer, and really getting into your goals and what you want and things like that. So that's really important stuff. And even entrepreneurs, like we do this stuff with our work, like we plan out our days and we know what we're doing for, you know, the tasks that we have to do, but we kind of neglect the self-care and the nutrition and what we should be eating and things like that.
Yeah, it's well, and I'll say one thing about the whole, you know, when you open the fridge and the things that you should want or you should eat are the things that you eventually you want to eat as you start eating. And it is true. Like I remember when I was going through, I was like, you know what? I actually enjoy this type of food. And, but your brain just doesn't think to go there with it. And, but once you start conditioning it with healthier eating options, it actually is quite enjoyable. And the marketing's so true too. I mean, you know, I can't ever think of, maybe it's there. I don't see it. If it is there, it's not very prominent to me, but I don't drive by McDonald's and see salads all over the place. I see burgers and fries and the big Coca-Cola. Cause that's what so I go there and it's like, that's what attracts me. And then that hooks me in and that's how I order. So, yeah, I think I'm glad you brought that back up because that is definitely something, you know, especially what you said about the food. It's like, if you can start conditioning yourself through journaling, through prayer, really working on that mindset and start, you know, over time, as you continue to go to those healthier options, keep going to those healthier options, you start conditioning yourself to having that automatic response. I would imagine it's like, I'm out of the fridge, I'm going automatically. Now I'm going over here instead of over here because I've rewired the brain to do that. And it takes work. It takes mindset work. So,
that opens the whole nother door towards like paradigms and our subconscious mind and how that stuff works. And it's just, there's so much that we don't even realize that goes into the choices that we make.
Yeah, it is. I mean, if you ever, and that's the thing, it's like, I've went through it was like a neuropsychology program a couple of years ago. And, you know, and I remember learning like your brain is designed that way so it can be productive. It's designed to do that if it's a productive thing, because if everything has to be a conscious activity, your brain's going to slow down and things are going to slow down. If I always have to consciously think about what I'm doing, it's like when you drive a car, you know, yeah, maybe at first you're like, okay, there's the clutch. I'm talking about like old school here, like when you actually have a stick shift, but like there's a clutch, there's a shifter, there's the blinkers, there's the steering wheel. I put the gas in, I hit the brake. And like, there's so many little things you're doing when driving a car, when you get started, and you have to kind of think about that consciously because it's new, but then your brain creates those pathways. And then it becomes that second nature, right? Where all of a sudden you're so unconsciously driving a car that you can shove that McDonald's hamburger down your throat and talk on the cell phone and look at, you know, the radio, and somehow the car is actually in the lines. And that's what happens. You just move into that place where everything's so second nature. And it really is like the subconscious really is running the show. And it's
like those days where you're going to work, and you're like, you drive there and you're like, how did I get here? I wasn't even thinking about driving. Like, you don't even remember.
Yeah. Oh, I know. I've had those days and I'm like, yeah. Or if you drive, and that's like, wow, that's a little scary that I just drove somewhere and I don't even really remember like the drive. And GPS makes it even worse, because now with GPS, I don't even have to think about where I'm going. I just listen to the little voice pop in and say, take a right in 300 feet. Oh, okay. I got to take a right. Go back to zoning out or listening to music and zoning out. And it's definitely something that I think having awareness of the unawareness and understanding where that is and knowing that that's going on, I think is, you know, probably one of the first steps into to really improving your life with your mindset, is knowing how that subconscious works and understanding how to kind of lift up the hood of the engine, so to speak, and go in there and move some things around so it runs better. Tara, this is amazing. I want to real quick, because we're getting near the end here, and I want to ask you about IBG brain fitness. Is that something that because I remember we did this brain training exercise, I guess it was a few weeks ago. Here it is again. I don't even remember the time. But it was really cool. And is that something that you incorporate? Tell me a little bit about that. And like, is that something that you incorporate with your coaching and how you serve as well?
I haven't done too much of it, but it's an option. And so that is your listeners haven't heard it, but it's kind of taking music and tempo and like the harmony and movement and using your body and movement so that you can kind of make new connections within your brain through some fun activities, right? So, you know, you're listening to the classical music and you're kind of moving with the music. And we did, you know, like the switching ears, or, you know, it's kind of like that rub your tummy, pat your head type of thing. Yeah. But it's a lot of fun. And it kind of, if you practice it like a few times a day, just for, you know, a few minutes a day, you start to do things and that are like, I'll tell you, like my example is that one day I went into the bathroom, brush my teeth, and I was brushing with my left hand, and I don't never brush my teeth with my left hand. So I started thinking about what have I been doing the past week? And I've been doing a lot of those brain game activities. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, maybe, you know, this is actually doing something to my brain. Like I'm using a different hand. And so it was kind of interesting, and it wasn't something I was expecting, but they're just fun activities, that I can incorporate. I haven't done too much of it. But yeah.
Yeah, that's cool. I mean, it's fun. Again, there's that subconscious again kicking in, like all of a sudden I'm brushing my teeth with my left hand and I don't even realize it. And but it came from the activities that you were doing in those trainings. Yeah, it was interesting. I found it to be interesting. And so I wanted to touch on it. And is there like a place, if somebody wanted to learn about these brain training activities, is there like a place somebody can find more information about this online that you know of?
They would have to contact me, and I do not know the website off the top of my head right now for
okay, that's fine,
for the actual brain games. Yeah.
Well, perfect. Well, that's a great segue into how can people get connected with you, and where can they find you? Where can they get connected with you online?
I would say Facebook is the easiest place. And I have my website, taramatthews.com, with one T in the last name. I have my Facebook page. It's facebook.com/fitfaithcompany. And so that's probably one of the best places to go. And you can message me from there too.
Okay, perfect. So, we'll make sure to link it up in the show notes so people know where to find you. And also you can go to, if you go to www.introspectivepodcast.com/Tara Matthews, TaraMathews with one T, as Tara says, that will also take you to the show notes here with all the links and, the video, the podcast, the whole shebangabang will be on that website page as well for you to check out. So Tara, this has been amazing, hearing your story and what you're doing, talking about a very important topic that I know many people struggle with. And, I just want to say, thank you. It was an honor to have you on the show and to hear your message and to share that message with the listeners. So thank you so much for that.
Thank you. Yeah, it's always, it's a good opportunity, and I appreciate it because it's always a pleasure talking to you.
Absolutely. Thank you for tuning into today's episode of the Introspective Podcast, where mindful entrepreneurs get their daily deep dive to uncover new opportunities, raise their state of awareness, and shift the introspective towards their next breakthrough moment in both life and business. And if that sounds like you, then make sure to subscribe to the podcast on your favorite platform. You can find the show on Apple, Spotify, Google, Stitcher, and Amazon. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you tomorrow here on the Introspective Podcast.